creativity. And we're going to talk for just a few minutes about something that we do as a church family every week. When we gather together here in, under this roof, we sit in these seats and we take communion. And the root word there really is thinking about community and communing with one another. You can go ahead and bring those up to me. I've got some samples here. You like samples? You like going to, this isn't really samples, but yeah, you go to Costco or go to Sam's, and you always got to look for the samples. So we have a tray that has some bread, and then we have another tray that has a lot of juice. And if you've ever dropped a juice tray, has anybody ever dropped a juice tray? It's like one of the most embarrassing moments, but you're scarred for life for that. No, you'll be okay. But we're going to talk a little bit about why we take communion today. And I want us to talk about for a minute relationships and friendships and that sense of community, having people that are close to us. Have you ever had a close friend move away? For whatever reason, maybe their parents got transferred jobs, maybe they just needed to sell their house to move to another part of the city. And when they move away, do we feel happy about that? No, we don't feel happy. We kind of feel sad, and we wonder, will we ever see them again? Will I ever get to play with them again? Will I ever get to go spend the night with them, do whatever? Will I ever see them again? But here's the thing. It's amazing that friendships, though, that are so deep and are so real, that they really don't have to end. Just because you're separated by space, by locations, you can still grow close to one another. So what are some things that we can do to remember those friends, right? Because a lot of times we can get caught in this out of sight, out of mind mentality, right? If they move away, we kind of go on with our life. But if you have a special friend like that, you want to remember them, right? So what are some things we can do to remember our friends that might move away? Any ideas? Draw pictures. That's right. Get creative and draw pictures of maybe fun memories that you had together. Someone says call them, right? You can pick up the phone and call them. You can send them a text. Write a letter, snail mail, right? That's amazing. We talked about that recently with some people about how special it makes you feel when you get a letter in the mail. What? Presents. Yes. Presents. Maybe you buy them a special gift and you give it to them and they put it on their dresser. And every time they're in their room and they're getting ready for the day, they see that and they remember you. That's awesome. So many different ways that we can do that. You know, for me growing up, I had three really close friends. Lee Bean, he was like my best bud. I want to show, I got a picture of me and Lee. I don't know if you can see that well. I'm on this side here on the left. I got my blow pop, you know what I mean? I'm styling it like the sports way with like the wrapper still on it, you know? And then that's my buddy Lee. We pretty much grew up together and played every type of sport possible. But he ended up moving about an hour away from me. And but we still stayed close, even to this day. So that's one of my buddies. And then I'm going to show you another picture. All right. That's my dad over here sporting the white pants and the Lacoste, isn't it? Lacoste, the alligator shirt. This is me here. If you can see, that's me. And then there's a couple of buddies that I play t-ball with and really grew up with. The guy that's next to the tee, kind of the blonde-headed kid there, his name is Dusty Massengill. Many of you might know Dusty. We were on a team together, and then this guy on the top right next to the girl, his name is John Bean. Many of you might know John. I've heard of him before. John actually helped me become a Christian. Years later, studied the Bible with me and really helped me, along with my parents, really develop a solid faith in Jesus. But so Dusty and John, but Dusty moved away. Dusty actually moved to Atlanta. And I kind of lost touch with Dusty for a little bit. But and our parents knew that distance sometimes can maybe challenge us with that. So our parents made something for us. And this was before like high-tech digital printers and that sort of thing. This was like, I don't know where they printed it, actually. They might have actually drawn it. I don't know. But they made us something, and we hung it. Each one of us had it, and we hung it in our rooms. And I had it in my room until I went to college. So from this age, I had this one piece of this artwork or this frame, and it said, Dusty, Josh, and John, best friends forever. Dusty, Josh, and John, best friends forever. We all have people who are special to us. Even if they don't live in the same city or the same neighborhood as you anymore, we still love talking about them. We love remembering them, don't we? And the good times that we had. In passage in John 15, 15, it'll be on the screen for you. It says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. And I love this about Jesus and him talking and referring to us as his friends. He changes that relationship from just being master-servant to I'm going to call you my friend. Have you ever thought of Jesus being your friend? I know a lot of times we have different images of who Jesus is in our life, but I haven't really hung out with him in a long time. I don't really know what to do. I don't know if I'm really that close to him. Jesus is a friend, though, that you never want to forget. He's an awesome friend that you never want to forget. Just a few verses earlier in John 15, verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. To lay down your life for your friends. And he really was the perfect example of what friendship was about. Willing to sacrifice his own life so that we could live. There's a book called Written in Blood, and it tells a story of a little sister and a little brother. And the sister is in need of a blood transfusion. She has a disease that's very rare, and only a few people have it. Well, fortunately and unfortunately, her brother had that disease 2 years earlier. And she needed a blood transfusion, but it was a special kind of blood, a specific type of blood type, and someone that has gone through that disease to transfer blood to her. And so the doctor asked little Johnny, would you be willing to give Mary your blood? And Johnny's lip starts to quiver a little bit. His voice starts to shake, and he kind of hesitates. And he goes, sure. For my sister, I'll do that. So soon, the two children are wheeled off in chairs back to in the hospital. Mary is sick. She's pale. She's thin. Johnny, at this point, is healthy. But neither of them spoke, really, while they were back there. But when their eyes met, Johnny just grinned and smiled back at his sister. And as the nurse inserted the needle into little Johnny's arm, Johnny's smile kind of started to fade a little bit. And he started watching the blood flow from the tube. And then when the whole situation was almost over, Johnny, in a shaky voice, he kind of finally broke the silence and he asked the doctor, Doctor, when do I die? Now, Johnny didn't quite understand what was going on. But Johnny thought, my sister needs my blood, and if I give her my blood, then I'm going to die. And that was the hesitation earlier of like, am I willing to do that? And he was willing to do that for his sister. Well, the news broke that, hey, Johnny, you're not going to die, buddy. You're helping your sister. But he was willing to sacrifice his own life for his little sister. That's love. And that's the perfect example that we have in Jesus as our friend. You remember my friend Dusty that I showed you just a minute ago? He moved here to Atlanta. He's been a world traveler. He actually just moved back from Bolivia. He'd been in Bolivia for a while. We talked on the phone the other day. We actually met for lunch and had lunch together, and we were talking about my boys, and he ended up coming to Brady's, my oldest son's, baseball practice, which is kind of cool. He came and helped out with the baseball team. So it kind of came full circle 30-something years later to see that relationship stay connected. You know, one thing that friends do to build strong relationships is to have a meal and to share a meal together. Whether it's in your home or whether it's at a restaurant, having a meal together is such a connection. There's such a connection there. It's so bonding. And Jesus does that in Luke 22. He shares a meal with some of his closest friends, some of his followers. And I just want to read just a little bit in Luke 22. He's sitting back at a table, and they're reclining. And he starts a conversation with them of about what's about to take place in his life. He's about to go through one of the hardest times he had ever faced. He's about to suffer a lot of pain. He's about to go and hang on a cross and die for our sins. It says he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to them and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So he took the bread and he had this visual. And I don't know if they quite understood what was going on and what Jesus was talking about. But they were sharing this meal together. They were gathering together. And he says, "Take this bread, which is my body, and take of it, and I want you to remember me. Remember me." And then he gets a glass of wine, a cup of wine. He says, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So he took that cup, much bigger than this, I'm sure. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Remember me." And I love that phrase, "Do this in remembrance of me." What a friend we have in Jesus. But sometimes it's easy for us to forget. Out of sight, out of mind. And I think God, in his creating us, he knows sometimes our memories might slip a little bit. We've all probably forgotten big moments. Maybe we've forgotten someone's birthday. Maybe you've forgotten an anniversary. Maybe you've forgotten something special. We all have those moments where we forget. That's who we are. And God knows that about us. And he goes, "I want to give you guys something that you can do every week together to remember me." And so when we take communion, that's what we're doing together. We are remembering Jesus. We're remembering what an amazing man he was. We're celebrating his life. We're thanking God for him, that we can be his friend, that God loves us so much that he was willing to give up his son. So a lot of times this year, our theme has been gather, and we've had tables set up all across the auditorium, and we would go and we would gather around a table together. Well, today we're going to pass the plates. We're going to pass the plates today, and the bread's going to pass by. And as your parents, your family, as they take that bread, and you're like, "Oh, is this snack time, like upstairs?" You're right? Well, not really, but this is pretty good bread, I'll tell you that. But they take it, and they're remembering Jesus' body, broken. And they take that and they eat it. I'm going to put this piece aside because I don't want someone to get secondhand there. It's like double dipping, right? And then they'll pass the juice. This is the fruit of the vine. This is grape juice, but it kind of looks like blood. It represents Jesus' blood. That we take that and we remember what a friend we have in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time that we've been able to gather.